Welcome to the Every Nation Taipei podcast. We're here to help you know God, discover your purpose, grow in your relationships, and make a difference in Taipei, Taiwan, and beyond. We hope this message encourages you today.
When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind. And it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as a fire appeared to them and rested on each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit.
Good seeing you all. Welcome to Pentecost Sunday. It's interesting. Pentecost Sunday is something that's celebrated throughout Christendom. One of the high holy days or special days that refer back to different events throughout Christian and Jewish history. But we as a Pentecostal church don't very often celebrate it, which is interesting. But today we're going to take a special Sunday to celebrate Pentecost Sunday, because really our churches around the globe are all joining together this Sunday, and we're all preaching the same message, talking about the same things, because Pentecost Sunday is really about the church and about going to the nations. And as every nation, we want to pull the nations together and reaffirm and recommit ourselves to the call that God has upon us as a church. So welcome to Pentecost Sunday. As they were gathered, the Bible says, in the upper room, there was a sound came from heaven. And so today's sermon is called The Sound of Pentecost. Because every time that God comes on earth, when we look through history and through the scriptures, when God would visit, it would come with a sound. The very first Pentecost actually points back. Pentecost actually points back to the moment in Jewish history where they were given the Ten Commandments. Remember that story in the book of Exodus, when they got the Ten Commandments, and when God came to give the Ten Commandments, the Bible says that he came down in dark clouds, thunder and lightning, just loud noise as the Ten Commandments were given, as the law was given. And then again, now as we look at Pentecost in the New Testament, when the Holy Spirit came, again, there was a sound that came from heaven. And so we're going to be talking today about Pentecost and the start of the church and what does that look like, and because what does that mean for us as a church? So as we celebrate Pentecost Sunday, we're celebrating the birthing of the church through the outpouring of God's Holy Spirit upon his people. And we want to say, now how does that relate to us as a church here in Taipei? What does that mean for us and what do we need to do about it? Because church is never about just having information. It's always about the transformation that God does in our hearts and the ways that the Holy Spirit moves us then to step out in obedience to God's direction. So we're going to kick off today the sound of Pentecost. We're taking a break in our series on Ephesians, which is in the Bible. Ephesians is the book that talks the most about church. So we love this break in the middle of the book of Ephesians to talk about the start of the church on the day of Pentecost. Would you join with me in a word of prayer? Heavenly Father, we are so grateful for the power of the Holy Spirit poured out upon the church on the day of Pentecost. And as we reflect on that day today, we look back and Lord, we just invite your Holy Spirit to come and to speak to each and every one of us. And God, I pray that you would open our hearts, and that as we open our hearts to you, your Holy Spirit would not only speak to us, but would begin to change and transform and empower us. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. The sounds of Pentecost. You know, When the church started, the Bible says that that first day of church, thousands were added to the kingdom of God. And from that kickoff, thousands continued to be added. Not only there in Jerusalem where the church started, but then around the world, the gospel began to go out. And from just a small group of followers in the Middle East, we have now churches spread around the world, even here in Taipei, Taiwan, that continue to preach the gospel and continue to echo the sounds of Pentecost that started that day 2,000 years ago. And so as we go through this, as we unpack, how did they do that? You know, they had no technology. Sometimes we struggle with our technology. They had no money. They had no buildings. Praise God that we're going to have a building. But you know, even if we didn't have a building, the church would go on, because the church is not about the building. It's about we, the people, as we gather together. The Bible doesn't say when you come into the right building, my presence is there. He says when you come together, two or three, when you gather together, my presence will be there. And when I show up, I'm going to change lives. And so we're looking back and say, how did they do that? No website, no flyers. What does this mean for us here in 2025 in Taipei, Taiwan? How do the sounds of Pentecost echo in our lives today? Okay, we're called now to spread the gospel. So we're just going to look at the sounds of Pentecost. What were those sounds, and what are the implications for us today? And starting off in Acts chapter 2, in verse 1, Scripture says, when the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as of fire appeared to them and rested on each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. If you want to follow along, if you have a Bible on your phone, you can pull that up. In Acts chapter 2, verse 2 says that there was a sound that came from heaven on that day. And this is how every move of God begins. It always starts from heaven. You know, I got saved back in 1967, in the middle of what was known as the Jesus movement, when there was a revival that hit America and spread around the world, and especially amongst young people. And thousands of young people came to Jesus during those times. It was also the time of the hippie revolution. And so people were, you know, taking drugs and going to the beach. I was in Hawaii, so a lot of surfing and drugs all mixed in with that. I was just 7 years old, so I wasn't into drugs. I wasn't into surfing. But as I went to this little church of like 30 people, and we just saw folks start showing up to church. And guys with their long hairs and, you know, in Hawaii, bare feet and their swim shorts coming into church. And their lives being radically transformed by Jesus. And I can remember just in high school, in the 70s, how we would just gather with our guitars in the middle of the campus and just begin to worship Jesus and begin to invite people to come to know Jesus. And people just their hearts were just opening up to Jesus. They used to call us the Jesus freaks, you know, because we were sold out for Jesus. We told everybody, find your biggest Bible, bring it to school, put it on your desk so people know you love Jesus. And we were just bold for Jesus. And we just saw people across the country coming to Jesus on college campuses, high schools, on beaches. I was baptized on the beach. We had an amazing baptism yesterday at Fulong Beach. And I love baptisms, and I love having them outdoors like that, because that's how I was baptized. And back in those days, so many people just coming to Christ and being baptized. And there's seasons when God comes like that. And there was a significant sound. We used to call it contemporary Christian music, where people started bringing in the sounds of sort of rock and roll, started coming into the church. And I can remember the first set of drums coming into the church, and people were just like shocked, like, Are drums allowed in the church? You know, that's the music of the devil, you know. But there's just a different sound that came. And that's true when you look throughout church history. Every time that God comes with a visitation, a time when he draws near, the truth is God never leaves us. But there's times when our hearts just are more open to God. And so there's this powerful move of God that happened in the 60s and 70s called the Jesus Movement. It spread around the world where thousands of young people came to know Jesus, and great youth movements began. Youth revival, youth missionary movements, groups like YWAM started up in those in the 70s, 60s and 70s, and God just began to take young people around the world preaching the gospel. And what I love is that God is doing it again. We're hearing news all the time of revival happening. Again in the U.S., university campuses, thousands, hundreds and thousands of kids being baptized on campuses, university campuses in the U.S. And there's beginning to be reports of revival happening in churches in Europe, in the U.K. Revival has been going on for a bit of time already in places like China and the Middle East. But the church has been in such decline in the West, in places like America and like Europe, and we're beginning to see that turn and see that change. The question is, how do we become a part of that? Because we want to see that here in Taiwan. I love that there are so many just great new churches starting here in Taiwan, and there's this sense in the church here in Taiwan that there's a stirring in the heart of God for Taiwan. And I believe that we are on the cusp of a revival here in Taiwan. So how do we prepare ourselves for another fresh day of Pentecost? Because the Bible says that God not only comes in these different moments, but throughout history, God has returned time and time again to the churches as a whole, but also to individual hearts. Times when our hearts are renewed by the Holy Spirit. And we want to set our hearts for that. So we look back at this, the sounds of heaven that came. How did that happen? How did God speak? And we read that story, and Jesus told his disciples, gather together after he returned to heaven. He said, you gather together, come into a room together, and wait until the Holy Spirit, the promise of the Holy Spirit, comes upon you. And they didn't know what that looked like. They didn't know what was supposed to happen. They just knew that Jesus gave them a promise. And they were supposed to gather in one place together. And there's something about the body of Christ coming together. I want to encourage you, if you've been just kind of a casual attender, sort of just going where you want, when you want, you know, dropping into church here, watching online there. I want to encourage you. Jesus said, no, come into one place, one room, come together. And there's a place of where the church just needs to come together and be unified. And we believe we're in that season as a church here that of just unifying ourselves, reshifting ourselves, and resetting ourselves. And a lot of what went on during those 10 days, some of us were saying, okay, how do we set ourselves for what God said was supposed to happen? Setting people in leadership, putting people in places. And as a church, we're going through that now. We're resetting ourselves. We're evaluating what we're doing. And we're just saying, over this summer, let's just reset how we're doing things. Let's evaluate what we're doing well, what we're not doing well, and reset ourselves. Because we believe time has come for revival, and we're going to see people come to Christ. And we want to be prepared for them when they come. And so they were there, and it ended up being 10 days. I don't know if you've ever asked God for something. For me, sometimes when I ask God for something, I expect it, you know, in the next few minutes, sometimes the next few hours, at least that day. If I get a little disappointed, if it doesn't happen the next day. But if it goes into multiple days and then weeks, this was 10 days. I know people who've been believing God and didn't see the miracle happen until years. I've seen that in my life. People that I was believing for to get saved, family members, where sometimes that prayer has gone on every day for years and then they come into the kingdom. But here was 10 days. And for 10 days, they stayed in that room and sought the Lord and prayed and said, okay, God, whatever it is, we don't know what the promise looks like, but we're praying. I want to encourage you that this is a time to set yourself to receive from God. I love that there's a stir going on in the church in general to come back into what we call the spiritual disciplines. of just disciplining ourselves to read the Bible, pray, put our hearts in a place where we're ready to receive from God. Opening up our hearts. So I want to encourage you, set yourself in a place where you're ready to personally have God visit you. And join with us as a church. We had a great time Friday night, our encounter night, just spending time in prayer together. So I encourage you, bring yourself, discipline yourself, like the disciples did. 10 days of just saying, I'm going to set myself until God's promise comes to pass. I'm going to give myself to reading the word, to prayer, to unifying with other believers. This is how they set themselves to prepare for the sound of heaven to come. The next slide there. There we go. God's mission has always started with God. So we as God's sheep, the Bible says we can hear his voice. And what happens in salvation, God gives us a new heart. And this is a spiritual heart that God gives us that begins to beat in time with God's heart. A heart that begins to be open to who God is, to what's going on in his heart, to what's on his mind, to hearing his voice saying, God, what are you saying? Jesus said, I only say what I hear the Father saying. I only do what I see the Father doing. And then he said, now you follow me. The way that I live, now you live. And so we need to set ourselves and begin to discipline ourselves. Say, God, teach me how to hear your voice, how to walk with you. If you've never read, there's a great book called Practicing the Way by a guy named John Mark Comer. It just kind of breaks down, what does that look like to walk with Jesus? To do like what the disciples did in those 10 days of just reading the word, praying, fellowshipping together, setting ourselves to hear God's voice and be prepared for when the promise comes. Okay? So this is God's mission, always started with God. So I want to call us as a church. Let's set ourselves for more prayer, reading the word together. We're just challenged. I don't know about you, but we have this daily reading plan, and I've been reading through that plan every day, just trying to all together read, and I love a couple of the folks, they comment every day. And then this past week, my app glitched, and I lost all of my past comments that were on there, and all my past readings, so now I'm 140-something days behind. But I'm just going to start from today and get on. And you know, you might be like me, starting 140 or 150 days behind. It's okay. Just begin today and start reading the word today. Join with us as we read the word and pray. Then the Bible goes on, the scriptures go on. In verse 5 it says, now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. Verse 6, and at this sound the multitude came together, and they were bewildered because each one was hearing them speak in his own language. So whatever this sound from heaven was that came, the Bible says it was like a mighty rushing wind. Whatever that sound was, it wasn't only heard in the room. People throughout Jerusalem heard the sound of that wind, and they're like, what is happening? What is this sound of wind that we're hearing? And they began to all flock to where the sound was happening. And they were amazed and astonished, saying, are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we then, each of us, in his own native language, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, there we go, Arabians, we hear them telling in our own tongues the works of God. The sound of nations. So they began to gather, and what happened is they began to, as they gathered, they heard the disciples doing what we call speaking in tongues, which is speaking in heavenly languages and earthly languages. And they said, we're hearing the gospel preached in our own language. And as a movement, our heart is to preach the gospel in every nation in its own language. And I'm not sure why God would call a Chinese from America who doesn't speak Chinese to Taiwan to preach in English. But we're committed to say, you know, this, what we do here, is just a catalyst for what we do in the afternoon when we have our Chinese service. And we're believing God that this ABC, this banana, this yellow on the outside, white on the inside, Chinese pastor can pastor a church of also all different kinds of people, some speak Chinese and some don't. But to have an impact and be a catalyst here in Taiwan to raise up churches of Taiwanese pastors spreading the gospel here in Taiwan. 24 million Taiwanese that we need to reach with the gospel. And that's our heart. Not only put here, but that then the gospel would be heard throughout the nations. Seeing people hear the gospel in their own tongue. And I love just the spread of nations here. Yesterday, as we were baptizing, we had people from South Africa and Taiwan and the Philippines. And, you know, we have people from all different continents here, whether it's from Europe or Asia, that come into this congregation. And our heart is not only for Taiwan, but we're believing God to send this people from this congregation, but also from our Taiwanese congregation, to send them to the nations. We know that this nation, Taiwan, has a call to the nations. We know that this nation already has an impact in the nations. Everybody's looking for chips from Taiwan. You know, and they talk about how Taiwan is the most dangerous nation on earth because of the place that it holds in international politics with the tension between the U.S. and China. And so we may be small, but God's called us to have an influence. You go back to the original Aboriginal people here and how people from Taiwan, the Aboriginal people from Taiwan spread to the nations across from Easter Island in the west all the way to Madagascar in the east, to Hawaii in the north, and New Zealand in the south. All those island groups were peopled by people from Taiwan. And the Bible says that first in the natural you can see God's heart, and then you'll see that God do it in the spiritual. And so as a church, we're to have a heart for the nations. Because when God moves, there's always the sound of nations. God's mission has always been to all nations. From the start, that's always been God's heart. And I love how when God came on the day of Pentecost, people heard the gospel in their own language. And the nations were reached in that one city. Our human tendency is always to kind of just congregate and stay in one place. God's heart is always for the nations. And so we as a movement and as a church, we are looking to God to send us to the nations. In fact, we have what we call this as, we're part of a ministry called Every Nation. And we have a project called Missions 2029, where we wanted to continue to expand the gospel to the nations. Not only just as one individual church, but as a family of churches together. And so we're going to play a video here that introduces you to Missions 2029.
At the beginning of this ministry that we call Every Nation, there were three nations, Bangladesh, Philippines, and the United States. We set out to plant churches and do campus ministry in every nation. At our 30-year anniversary in 2024, we're in 81 nations, from 3 to 81. But what about the others? We have a strategy for the next 5 years. Mission 2029 is Every Nation's global expansion strategy to establish campus-reaching churches in 20 new nations by the year 2029.
Is this mission really possible? I'll tell you, the answer is a resounding yes. How can they believe in the one of whom they've not even heard about? How can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can they preach unless local churches like ours or campus ministry like ours would send people out?
Many times it's just us stepping into the country, stepping onto the campus, and then God meeting us there. We didn't really think twice to go to Costa Rica because we saw it happen in Panama, and it's happening here, and it'll happen in Guatemala, and it'll happen in Honduras.
God is still working in this region. The movement is alive. The gospel is alive. It's still changing people. Jesus is the hope of the world, and we're here to raise up the next generation of disciples from Cairo to the ends of the earth.
standing at the University of Dar es Salaam in Tanzania. We are here because God's commanded us to go. We want to plant a new church here on the campus at the University of Dar es Salaam. God's opened tremendous doors for us to meet with the leaders of the university, specific key leaders in this city and in this nation. So we have some strategic meetings coming up as God is opening this nation to us to plant an Every Nation church and campus ministry.
John and I moved to Luxembourg because of work. We had the desire to start a Bible study, and then after that, we started the outreach in Luxembourg. Currently, we have one service in a month, and we had four people who already finished their one-to-ones, and indeed, they have accepted Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior. We don't have an Every Nation church yet, but we're excited of where the Lord will lead the Luxembourg outreach here.
We've taken five different Every Nation churches on this Kingston outreach. Our church in New York has come. A couple of our DC different churches have come. A church in Atlanta. Here in Orlando, we've gone at the invitation of the Jamaican government. We went to 14 different schools, from elementary schools up through their major universities. After an incredible second trip where we worked specifically at the University of Technology, which has 15,000 students, we had 50 students on a WhatsApp group that were excited to grow in their relationship with God. We did nightly outreaches, we did daytime character seminars, and when we plant churches in the region, the best future leaders are going to be those who are from there. There are people waiting to hear the good news from you, and there are nations that when they grab hold of the gospel that are waiting to transform themselves to the glory of God.
This will be a five-year vision. It will not go away for the next 5 years. We will constantly hear of Mission 2029. You can be a part of reaching the nations all over the world.
What can we do right now about Mission 2029? I have a simple answer for you. Pray. Ask Him for the nations. Ask Him for the workers. Ask Him to pour out His Spirit locally, regionally, nationally, and to the ends of the earth.
So we are excited for what God will do and what God has been doing. Our part here in East Asia, our nations, for those of you who don't know, East Asia is our churches in Japan, in Taiwan, in Hong Kong, Macau, Korea, and Guam and Saipan. And so that's our East Asia region. And our region is has got two nations that we're going after. And so our goal is to plant a church in Mongolia. We sent our first team. Nicole was a part of that team that went to Mongolia. We have another team going next month in July. And then we'll send another team for those who love cold weather in October. And so the October one is what we're recruiting for. We have to sign up by this week to start the training. And it'll be October 18th to 28th, I believe are the dates. That's right. Yeah, 18th to 28th. 10 days in Mongolia. And our heart is by 2029 to start a church in Mongolia. Our other target is Palau. And so the team went to Palau. We sent a team there last month, and they saw 80 people come to Christ. And so they already have two workers who are now there from, I believe, the church in Guam who've moved there and are following up those 80 people who committed to following Christ there in Palau. And the goal is to build a church out of that. One of the pastors is flying in, I think, every other week. His wife works for an airline, so praise God, he gets free or cheap flights over to Palau. But just and so we're excited because that one's kicking off. And so those are our two. That's our contribution to the 20 new nations that we want to start churches in. It's just a part of what God commanded us to do, to go into all the world and preach the gospel, raise up disciples. And we want to just be very practical in obeying God. Because in the end, it's not what we know, it's what we do. And that's true of, as churches, and that's true as individuals. It's how we respond. Because there's all different kinds of responses to the gospel that people have. When we read on further on in the in verse 12, Acts chapter 2, verse 12, Scripture says, "All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, 'What does this mean?' But others mocking said, 'They're filled with new wine,'" or "they're just drunk." And that's always kind of the response to the gospel. That there's always those who are excited. The sounds of, in the crowd, every time that God begins to move, a crowd gathers. So you hear the sounds of the crowd. And in the sounds of the crowd, we'll always hear those who are excited and drawn to it, and those who are perplexed, wondering, "What is this?" And others who are just scornful and mocking and saying, I don't get any of this. And I don't receive or believe any of what's going on. And you're going to find that even sometimes in your own soul. That when God speaks, when God begins to move, there's sometimes we're amazed and we just say, "Oh, that's awesome. This is God's moving. I hear the voice of God speaking to me in my own heart." And then sometimes it's just like, "I don't know what this is. I don't understand what's going on here. What does God really want?" And then there's other times like, "That can't be God. That's foolish. I would never. How stupid would that be to do that? That's just, everybody would mock me if I did that." You know, that happens in our own hearts. And it happens in those that gather. And you're going to find that as God begins to move here, you're going to run into people like that as well. Because as God begins to stir us as a church, just like the disciples did, God's going to stir you to go out. You're going to run into people who love what you share. You're going to love. They're going to be hungry to know about Jesus. They're going to be those who are just wondering, "What does this mean? I don't understand." And there's going to be those who just hate it, like, "You're stupid. That's not true. How could you even believe that?" And so we'll run into the same thing, the sounds of the crowd. And then the scripture goes on in verse 14. "But Peter, standing with the 11, he lifted up his voice and addressed them, 'Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give ear to my words.'" Because when they hear the sound of heaven, and the sound that goes out to the nations, and the sound of the crowds that come in questioning and wondering what's going on, there always need to be those who stand up. There needs to be the sound of the witness. Those who stand up and say, "Hey, I know what's going on. Let me tell you what God is doing." The sound of the witness. And that's what we're here in Taiwan for, to be the sound of the witness. And that's God's call on your life. And there's a witness. But God calls us to be witnesses. God calls us to lift up our voices. Jesus said, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel. Go into all the world and make disciples." And that's God's call to each and every one of us, that we would be a witness. God's called you. If you know Jesus, then you have a call on your life to be a witness. And something we like to do in here at Every Nation is We like to get you to help us preach the gospel, preach the sermon with us. This point says that God's mission has always required a human voice, and that voice is your voice. And so I want you to turn to your neighbor and just tell them, that voice is your voice. You're called to be a witness. Church isn't meant to be a gathering of the spectators. It's meant to be a gathering of the followers, those that are following Jesus. And what Jesus did, he came from heaven to earth to bring the good news. The good news that Jesus can transform your life, that God loves you, that God is for you, that God wants to restore his relationship with you. He wants you to know him. He wants you to come into a personal relationship with him and to find spiritual family and to grow together and bring others into that same experience, into following Jesus. And what that means is found in this next verse. Verse 37 says, "Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, Brothers, what shall we do? This cutting to the heart is just that sense that the way my heart is now is not the way it needs to be. I need a change of heart. And it's that place of when the Holy Spirit begins to speak to your heart that it's time to change. And when you respond to that sound from heaven and say, okay, I want to respond to the Holy Spirit. I want to respond to the sound of heaven and make my own sound, the sound of repentance. What do I need to do? See, repentance begins with coming to God and saying, God, what do you want from me? As God begins to speak from heaven. And I believe sitting in this room here, God is speaking to your hearts now. And some of you right now are hearing what God is saying to you. And as God speaks, our place is to respond. Because when God speaks, it always brings transformation to our lives. And for some of you, you go back over the yesterday, some of you go back over the week or the weeks prior, and you already know the places where God has been speaking to you in your life. And some of you have been perplexed. Some of you have been amazed. Some of you have been doubtful. Some of you might have even been mocking. God, there's no way that's God. Some of you have just been frustrated. Say, God, it's been all these days, but I haven't seen that promise come yet. But what God looks for is us to respond and say, God, what do you want me to do? Because God will always then bring us to that place of repentance. The sound of repentance. God, you change me. I'm willing. Whatever you're calling me to do, I'll do that. That's what I want to do. I want to walk in obedience. God's mission has always brought people to salvation. Because salvation, coming to Jesus, begins with repentance. From turning from our own ways and turning towards His ways. I know that if you're sitting here today, you know the voice of God. You've heard the voice of God. You may not even yet be a follower of Christ, but I can tell you what, God has been speaking to you and God has been calling you. And you may not have recognized His voice, but He's been calling you. And His call always requires repentance, a change of our hearts, a change of our thinking, a change of our direction. And I want to just take a moment before we go on in the service, before we begin to wrap up. And just if you've never responded to that call to become a follower of Jesus, let's just take a moment and do that. Would you just bow your heads with me? I'm going to say a simple prayer of commitment to following Jesus. And you just agree with me in prayer. Heavenly Father, I come to you and I thank you for Jesus, the gift of His life to us, that He would come, lay down His life, die on the cross so that I could be forgiven of my sins. And today I confess that I'm a sinner. I've done my own thing, gone my own way. But God, today I want to follow your voice. And I ask you, Lord, forgive me of my sins. May you become the Lord of my life. I want to follow you. I want to have that relationship with you. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And I want to encourage you, if this is the first time you ever prayed a prayer like that, or even if you're just like, that sounds good, but I'm not sure, I want to encourage you at the end of the service, just come on up to the front. We'd love to pray with you, answer any questions that you might have, so that you can become a follower of Jesus. So when God calls us, God is always calling us to follow Him. For those of you who've been followers of Jesus, God is calling you today. And He's saying it's time for you to quit just being an attender. Someone just comes to church and spectates. But God is calling you to, that the sounds that you've heard from heaven, for you to give voice to the sound of being a witness. And there is no limit to what God can do when God can find a group of people who are willing to follow Him. That's what Pentecost Sunday is all about. It's hearing the voice of God from heaven, responding to that, and becoming those that echo that voice. This is our day for video, so we're going to close out with a video, one last video.
When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind. And it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as a fire appeared to them and rested on each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit.
I don't know about you, but that's inspiring to me to be a part of reaching nations. But really, it starts with us just reaching neighbors. Because there's people in your life who don't yet know Jesus. And we don't have to wait till we go to another country. We just start today. There are people around you that God's calling you to go and to reach. Some of you, it's groups of people. But most of us, there's just someone that God's laid on your heart, a coworker, a classmate, a neighbor, a family member. And it's just up to us then to begin to call out and say, God, what shall I do? You show me how to build a relationship with that person. You show me how to be Jesus to them, to walk with them in a way that begins to draw them towards Jesus. To live out this Christian life in a way that makes them say, man, I want to know the good news about Jesus as well. Would you stand with me as we close? For all of us, we're just going to ask God that this would be a week when God begins to show us and we respond to that call, where the sound of Pentecost begins to echo through our voice. Heavenly Father, we come to you today. We're so thankful for the gift of the Holy Spirit. I pray, Lord God, just a fresh outpouring of your Holy Spirit upon us, that you would stir us anew, Lord God, with a fresh fire and desire to preach the gospel and to be Jesus to people around us. Lord, I pray that you show us throughout this coming week ways to share your love with others, ways to engage in relationship with others, so that through those relationships, people would come to be followers of you. Father, we're asking for a fresh revival, a fresh outpouring of your Spirit, not only in this church, Lord God, but in this city, in this nation. We pray, Lord God, that throughout the churches in this city, in this nation, God, there'd be a fresh stirring of your Holy Spirit. Fresh revival would come to reach this nation. And that, God, you would raise up many missionaries from Taiwan, Lord God, to go to the nations. But God, we ask it. We just say, Lord, here am I. Send me to my neighbor to bring the good news of Jesus to them. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Thank you for listening. We pray this message spoke to you and built your faith. For more messages like this, visit our website at everynationtaipei.com. You can also send a prayer request and reach out to us anytime. God bless you. Till next time.